All right, I hope everyone had a wonderful day. It is great to be back here together once again. We're just always grateful for God's blessings, and in that, an opportunity to gather as a church family for worship at the end of the day. If there's any visitors here, welcome. We're grateful that you're here. It's an encouragement to us that you're here, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. Now, we are starting a sermon series on the topic of grace. And this evening, we are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But real quick, before we get into that, back in February, we had a lesson titled Why We Walk by Faith from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I didn't have that in there, and then verses 12 through 14. I actually went and just took that PowerPoint with that imagery and left the title in there and kind of remade it for a lesson this evening. And then I also saved this, because I know you remember the conclusion of every sermon I've ever preached. But just in case you don't, this was our conclusion in that sermon from, I think it was back in February, like I said. But I want us to see, you know, this walking in faith and walking in grace and kind of how they overlap in this study here. And I know you remember that conclusion there. As a Christian, my motivation to walk worthy is done out of obligation, obedience, faith, and love. So same chapter, we're going to use the same imagery. Maybe that'll spark some things to help us put some things together. But we're going to go ahead and talk about grace. Now, my kids have always absolutely hated it when I used them in a sermon illustration. But I don't have any here, but to stay true to my promise, I'm going to tell you a story about one of my children. I'm not going to tell you which one, but her name fits this lesson really well. And she's about 32-hour drive away from us. I'm not going to tell you which one, but anyways, so this child, when she was, I'm wanting to say 6 or 7, I took her to McDonald's and let her get a Happy Meal. And she said, I only got a drink. And she's sitting there eating her Happy Meal. And I reach over and I take a French fry. She goes, hey, you can't do that. Those are my French fries. And so I thought, well, this is a good teaching moment. And I said, those are my French fries. And I'm just letting you eat them, right? And so I did what any good dad would do. I took another one. And my point is, she took my French fry gift in vain, right? It was mine to give. And I gave it to her. And, you know, and how does that make you feel? Have you ever had someone take a gift that you've given them, that they take it in vain or they don't appreciate it? Right, whatever it might be, they might abuse that gift, or you know, a week or two after you give it to them, they're selling something very similar on Facebook Marketplace, you know, something like that, and we don't like it. We just don't like the idea of someone taking a gift that we've given them and they take it in vain. You know, we don't like that. And listen, what God has given us is so much more than our minds can begin to appreciate. And I think many times we don't take that gift and elevate it to its proper importance in our lives. And we take it for granted. We take God's gift in vain. And so everything that we've examined this year about walking in faith, I do think the next logical step is, you know, somewhere in this year, I was like, we got to talk about grace. We're going to talk about what it is, what it's not. I think next week I'm going to get into grace or law, which is it? Are they pitted against one another? You know, that kind of thing. You know, is it grace? Is it law? Or is it both? You know, and the grace of God, it's such a broad topic. You know, it's a very important topic for us to understand, you know, and it's hard for us many times to comprehend it, and so we struggle with it. Right? We struggle. What is? We know it's important. We know it's needed, We know God, you know, extends it to us, you know, but what is it? And when we don't fully understand it, we start doing some things. We limit His grace as His children. We take it for granted, maybe misuse it for selfish reasons. Maybe we end up making it something that it's not, right? And I think there's something on, you know, either side of the spectrum, if you will. You know, take it in vain or for granted, or we limit it. You know, so I want us to examine that. And then also we're going to see here in this study, especially here in 2 Corinthians 5, how grace and reconciliation, they're intertwined. Now, I do here real quick want us to understand the context real quick. My screen went out again. For what we're going to be looking at, we're basically going to be looking at, for the main part, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to chapter 6 and verse 2. But the context here is, I think you got to go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, rightfully called the book of correction. Paul is just correcting. You're doing this wrong, you're not doing this right, and he just lays it down. 2 Corinthians, to me, is like a good eldership, right? They had to do the correcting in 1 Corinthians, and they repent, right? So we see that in a couple places in 2 Corinthians. The church of Corinth, they repented. And you really see that in chapter 7 when Paul talks about repentance. So Paul does what any good eldership would do after a correction, right? They corrected us. They admonished us. We repented. We changed what needed to be changed. And then they comfort us, right? They're so grateful that we fixed what needed to be fixed, and now it's a time for comfort. And so that's what 2 Corinthians basically is. And then we get into chapter 4 especially. You know, I need you to think spiritually. You know, you're only going to be comforted if you think spiritually. Remember how 2 Corinthians chapter 4 ends, right? While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And he talks about this tent, chapter 5. Our bodies, they're not going to last. And then we get to verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. So you need to see spiritually. And then we get this conversation about reconciliation and grace, right? Which, again, is our study here. Now, know this before we only got two main points this evening here. You got to understand the difference between grace and mercy. Best verse for that in your Bible, I think, is Romans 6 and verse 23. Right? The wages of sin is death, so mercy is not getting something you do deserve. What do we deserve because of our sin? Well, we deserve death. Right? That's the paycheck that we've earned is death, but when God withholds that paycheck of death, that's mercy. Grace, the last part of that verse, Romans 6 and verse 23, the gift of God's eternal life, that's getting something we don't deserve, right? So understand the difference. Mercy, not getting something we do deserve, death. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. And so that's the context in all of this that we see here. And I would also add in this that we see that word reconciliation five times in those three verses, verses 18 through 20. So what do you think he's talking about? Well, he's talking about reconciliation. How do we obtain reconciliation? Well, through the blood of Christ, through the grace of God, through that gift of him and his sacrificial work on the cross. So that's where it comes from. And then also, let me mention this here. You know, we need to understand how we do and do not take God's grace in vain. Those are going to be our two main points, by the way. How we take God's grace in vain, and then how we don't take God's grace in vain. And, you know, everything that we do, so here's the first point in this, how we take God's grace in vain. You know, everything that we do so for one of two reasons. And it's either out of fear of consequences or a desire for reward and or an appreciation for that promised reward here. So I want you to note the fear side of this. Look at verse 11, kind of get a little more context here. So here's the fear side of this. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Right? And again, in verse 10 there, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Right? So why we should not take God's grace in vain? Well, judgment's coming. Now, verses 17 through 19 here, I think is more of the appreciation side of this, why we should not take God's grace in vain. Let me read 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, the world to himself, not putting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Listen, we take God's grace in vain when we do not fully value, when we do not appreciate what was done on our behalf. Right? If you don't see that, you're taking God's grace in vain. And, you know, and I think... sometimes this is very hard for us. We just get involved with life, right? We get busy with life. Things happen, struggles come, issues just pop up, and it's so easy to take the grace of God in vain. Now remember chapter 4 into chapter 5 where we lose sight of the spiritual. Right? We chapter 4 and verse 16, right? The temptation is to lose heart. But Paul here is saying, don't lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man's being renewed day by day. How? Why? Right? We're keeping our eyes on the end result, the spiritual. And then he says in chapter 4 and verse 17, for this light affliction that we're going through, he's saying it's just for a moment. Very similar to Romans 8 and verse 18. Right? He's saying it's just for a moment, and it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Think spiritually. And then you won't take the grace of God in vain. When we don't think spiritually, we're going to take the grace of God in vain. And so Paul then is explaining all that was done on our behalf in this section here. And either we don't learn what was done for us, maybe we ignore what was done for us, or we take for granted what was done for us, right? This is absolutely taking the grace of God in vain. Look at verse 14 of chapter 5 here. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. When we don't let the love of Christ control us and compel us, we're going to take his grace in vain. Look at verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Right? In short, he's talking about, you know, Christ left his physical earth, right? He's ruling at the right hand of the glory of God, but we still believe he's there. We know that he was here. We know that he died and he rose again, and he's in heaven in the spiritual realm. We know that. But when we don't recognize these things, what we're doing is we're taking the grace of God in vain. You can look all through this chapter, you know, I would add, you know, verse 5. When we don't recognize or receive the fact that God has given us his Holy Spirit to indwell within us as a pledge, we're receiving God's grace in vain. Verse 7, right? When we, verse 6, you know, when we're not confident in what God wants us to be confident in. Verse 7, when we don't walk by faith, but walk by sight, right? That's receiving God's grace in vain. So, you know, just not being spiritually minded in all areas, we're taking the grace of God in vain. And I think you can apply this to anything, all things, right? How we treat one another, our approach to worship, right? And giving and singing, all of those kind of things, right? When we worry about tomorrow, when we live the oh, woe is me lifestyle, right? We're taking the grace of God in vain. When we, verse 20, don't act like we're ambassadors for Christ, right? When we don't speak boldly as an ambassador does, we're taking the grace of God in vain. All right, our second main point this evening is how we do not take God's grace in vain. And I wanted to approach this. There's a lot of reasons in here, kind of really just the opposite of everything I just talked about. But I want you to note here three behold statements in our text. Right, we see one in chapter 5, verse 17, and we're going to see two in chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, chapter 6 and verse 1 is, hey, don't take the grace of God in vain. But I want you to understand something really interesting about this word. Whenever you see that word behold in your New Testament, right, the Greek word for that is ado. And it's almost like putting an exclamation point on the word. And we're being told, I want you to look with great investigation. You know, I want you to really discern what I'm going to tell you very sincerely. So anytime you see that word behold, this is the author saying, you know, I got something really, really important here that you need to really, really focus in on. Really pay attention. And so we see three behold statements here. And the first one, we already read it, we'll read it again. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You know, this is the Lord through Paul telling me, the reader today, Sean, behold, look with great investigation, new things have come. But what's the new thing? Well, we know from this verse here, this new thing only comes through Jesus Christ. None of my doing. And so we know that this new thing is salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, through this ministry of reconciliation. Hebrews 8 and verse 6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he also is a mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Then here in Hebrews 9, 15 through 17 also teaches us that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called, these are the new creatures that Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians 5, may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. New things have come. They used to be in sin and in darkness. Like we talked about this morning, Colossians 1 and verse 13, I've been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I used to be in darkness. Right now, I get to be in the marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Behold, new life given through the gospel that brings the grace of God. Right? If I behold that, listen, I'm going to start taking the grace of God for what it is, a wonderful gift. And I'm not going to take it in vain. All right, the second one, well, actually the next two are in chapter 6 and verse 2. See them right next to each other. Behold, so here's the second one. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Sean, I want you to look with great investigation. I want you to consider, to discern this very closely. Right now, he's saying, is the acceptable time. All right. Now, what he's referencing here, by the way, is what was said in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8. That's what he's quoting here. If we had time, I'd go through the context here. But it just speaks about the salvation that God offers his covenant people. Right? And we are now God's covenant people. Remember, Paul's writing to Christians. 2 Corinthians, this is two Christians, four Christians about the Christian life. So there's this reminder here, right, that we are covenant people. We're now God's covenant people, and those who do not take God's grace for granted, right, they understand this. Right? Those who through obedience obey the gospel, obey this word of reconciliation. Right, that they do something with the gospel because they understand this is a time-sensitive issue. look with deep investigation, because time is of the essence in all of this. Right? Accept the word of reconciliation while you have time. Be saved while you have time. Serve the Lord while you still have time. Right now is the accepted time. You know why? Well, I mean, we can go through a lot of this. You can just go back to chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is time sensitive. We're not promised another day tomorrow. We're not promised another breath or heartbeat. And also want you to think this. A lot of Christians live under the impression that God is just up there from heaven, just waiting to snatch our next heartbeat, or to snatch away our next breath. Listen, he doesn't have to take your last heartbeat or your last breath. He just doesn't have to give you the next one. You see the difference? That's not the way that he operates, right? But the point is, we're not promised another day. What am I going to do at this time? You know, am I going to be an ambassador for Christ? How am I operating based on this time-sensitive issue? What am I doing with my God-given time? Now is the day of salvation. It's the acceptable time, right? And the point is, do not wait, do not delay, right now. And so, something before we go on to this third point and the second main point, something that we do, because we're people, and this really ties into this third behold statement, is we tend to push off important spiritual things. Right? Maybe we're young and we obey the gospel. You know, I'll really get faithful maybe when I get married and start a family. Then I'll really dig in and really be faithful. And for those of you who, you know, have started a family and you're younger with kids, that's the busiest time in your life, isn't it? And you think, well, you know, because it's hard to sit and worship, you always take kids to the nurse or whatever, you know, so busy with all the little things. You know, I tell you what, when they're older, when my kids are old, that's when I'm going to get serious about my faith. Have you ever had teenagers, those who, you know, your life's not getting any slower? And then we said, well, you know, when they go off to college, that's when I'm going to get faithful. That's when I'll start doing all the things that God wants me to do. And that time comes and you don't. Well, you know, after I retire, you know, that's when I'm going to get serious. I got a lot of work to do. I got to build up for a good retirement. You know, so when I retire, let me tell you, I'm going to be faithful. Retirement comes. You know, hey, I've earned my time off. I've earned my time to fish and to hunt and do whatever hobbies, right? So when's it going to be? You see, we'll always find a reason to push off that faithfulness to a different time. But the Lord's saying now is the time. Now is the time. Look at this third one here. Behold, now is the day of salvation, right? Another time-sensitive issue. What does James tell us about our time on this earth? James 4 and verse 14, right? We know it all. Your life's, it's like a vapor. It's here for a little while and vanishes. Basically, we're living on borrowed time on this earth. And again, we're not promised tomorrow. Listen, your purpose in this life is not to get a good job and to make money and save money to have a comfortable retirement. That is not why you're on this earth. If you've made that your purpose in this life, be careful. Your purpose in this life is to glorify God and all that you say and do. That's your purpose. Right? Your purpose isn't to get comfortable so you can watch every football game on television. Or to, you know, doom scroll Facebook. Right? Or to binge Netflix. That's not why we're here. Right? We're living on borrowed time. And so in this, right, there's this urgency. Remember what Paul tells us, Ephesians 5, verse 16? Right? Make the most of your time. Why, Paul? Tell me. He said, because the days are evil. Well, have you ever thought about that? What does that mean? I think it means this. that kind of scenario I just played out for you. I'll be faithful when the kids are older, while they're old. Well, I'll be faithful when I retire. I'll be faithful when, right? We're always pushing off that faithfulness. And we forget that this life is but a vapor here for a little while and gone. Listen, this, when we take what God gives us right now, that's using the grace of God properly. When we look with deep investigation in these things, that's appreciating the grace of God. Understanding that now is the acceptable time, not later, but now. Understanding that now is the day of salvation, right? Urgency, do not delay, right? Do not wait until later, because again, chapter 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why is that statement there? If this isn't important. And again, the next verse, verse 11. Listen, this reminder here, let's remember, we persuade men because we know the terror of the Lord. There's a great and terrible day coming. Right? Your whole life is about preparation for that great and terrible day. And in that, we glorify God. Let me read one more verse. We'll have our conclusion here. I think Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 really sum up all of this really well. Let's read this together, Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. So therefore, right, remember in that context, he says, remember children of Israel before God, the mountain shaking, trembling, all that. So therefore, he's making a summary statement. Since we are receiving a kingdom, we talked this morning, kingdom, church are the same, interchangeable. This body that we belong to, the collection of the saved, which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. That's what we're talking about this evening, grace, by which we may serve, right? Your translation might say worship. The Greek word is latreo. Either word is fine. That we may serve God, how? Acceptably, a theme in your Bible, with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Remember our purpose. Let's remember what we are being compelled. Remember what the love of Christ compels us to do? To receive the grace of God for the gift that it is and elevate its importance in our lives. Now, by way of conclusion, right, let us not take the grace of God for granted. Right? For we've been reconciled. Have you done that in your Bible? In my Bible, I got it green. Right, reconciliation five times. I highlighted each one, each of those five in green. Highlighted in your Bible. Right, appreciate that we've been reconciled to God. Now God sees us. You know, the word righteous there, it means being right in the eyes of God. Now he looks at us, hey, you're right in my eyes. Why? Well, because of this gift of the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look at verse 21. He had to come into this world to become sin on my behalf. Sean's a sinner. And he loves me. So he says, for he, verse 21, talk about Christ. God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. That's you and me. Put your name in there. Personalize this. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now follow the pattern here, and then the lesson is yours. Just some recognition. Right? We're to recognize something special. If we were to look at all, both these two chapters here, even into six, what we looked at, don't think fleshly, think spiritually. Recognize that. Recognize we're not to walk by sight, but by faith. Recognize that we're new creatures in Christ. Recognize we've been given the Spirit of God to dwell in us as a pledge, as a promise. Right, recognize that we've been reconciled to God through the ministry of Christ. Verse 18. Recognize that we are to speak boldly as ambassadors for Christ. Verse 20. Recognize that he made Christ who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Verse 21. Recognize that this has made us righteous in the eyes of God. Recognize that we must work for him and not against him. Recognize that now is the acceptable time. Recognize that today is the day of our salvation. And if you want to recognize those things, you will not be receiving the grace of God in vain. You know, Ananias, when he came to Paul in Acts chapter 22, understood the urgency in Paul's salvation. He understood the time-sensitive nature of it. Remember what he tells Saul at that point? Why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So if you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel, today, right? I throw in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 all the time, or quite often when I'm doing the Lord's invitation, for a reason. Today, behold, today is the day of your salvation. Today, now is the acceptable time. Will you be immersed into Christ if you haven't? This is a time-sensitive issue. Or if you've done that and you went back to a lifestyle of sin, listen, the good news is that grace is still available to you. You just got to come home. You got to be reconciled to God, right? Today is the day. Today is the day. If we can help you in any way, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.